The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Eamonn O'Neill is with me, the broadcaster in studio, and Geoffrey McCarthy, psychotherapist and CEO of the Beacon of Light Counselling Centre in Clondalkin. You're both very welcome. Thanks a million for coming into us. It's a really important conversation, I think, to have. And it's about how to deal or how to respond to people in your life, be they family or friends or colleagues, who open up to you about mental health difficulties. So all the encouraging, Geoffrey, is done to the person who might have those difficulties. You know, don't be afraid to talk, you know, share the problem, open up to somebody. And I guess maybe sometimes we don't think or talk often enough about the person who is being shared to and how they're meant to deal with it. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's very fair. I think we were just talking off air there about, you know, when somebody opens up to you in terms of a mental health difficulty, what's the response, you know, and automatically our response sometimes is to try and fix, you know, or try and kind of interject or trying to look for a solution. And really, you know, I think the most important thing is to listen, you know, to listen attentively to what the person is saying. You know, obviously you're not going to be a trained professional, so you're not going to know what to listen for. But as you hear the person talking, you'll get a sense of how difficult the problem is, how they're feeling. And then you might be able to kind of get a cue then as to how to respond, or is there a response necessary, if that makes sense.
Eimear, you're nodding along.
Yeah, because we were talking about it outside, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think as humans, our automatic response to things like that, or when we see someone in distress, is to want to have the answers for everything. And like Geoffrey said, to come up with solutions. But, you know, I'm coming from a place of lived experience with mental health issues, and opening up to others about it, having someone come with answers all the time isn't necessarily maybe what I've needed from that person at the time as such. And I think we want really maybe sometimes just a space, a safe space to be able to talk and for someone to just kind of listen to us without judgment. And, you know, I think if you're listening as a receiver, you'll tell when the cue is for actually giving solutions and answers and directing like that person where to go or what to do. But if you're not listening and you start off with that, you might actually make that person recoil and not want to share more about the distress that they're currently going through.
I suspect some people react that way with the kind of the practical advice immediately, A, because maybe it's just in their nature. They're the type of person who,
yeah,
you know, that's when they're presented with a problem, they like to see themselves as that.
I'm
the problem solver. Yeah, except we all know them. I'm the problem solver.
Why is my hand going up right now?
But also I wonder sometimes is it almost a nervous reaction that it's kind of, you know, again, we do all this encouraging, please open up and please talk. Mm-hmm. But at some level, I think some of us are still kind of uncomfortable with the idea that somebody we know is going to come to us and say, listen, I'm not in a good place. Mm-hmm. This is going on. And again, they might even know the advice. Don't come forward all that, but just kind of almost out of nervousness.
Yeah.
You know, have you tried ringing this person? Have you tried that? Have you tried medication?
Exactly. It's like, do not touch that red button.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? All that's going through your head. Yeah, like I said, I really think a lot of the advice and the solution, you know, all that kind of stuff, it really, I think it comes from a good place. And like you said, it is a case sometimes of being nervous and wanting to do the right thing and not wanting to make a mistake. But, you know, really, I think having just that space and having a person who is there to be able to open up to generally is kind of a lot of what we need. And maybe there's no next steps needed. Maybe just being able to say things out loud. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I talk to somebody and I hear myself speaking out loud, I nearly answer my own questions or I deal with my own self-doubt or whatever the issue is at play, you know. So
it's why people speak to themselves apparently sometimes.
Yeah.
Just the you know, once they hear themselves saying the things out loud. That's why I tell my wife when she catches me talking to myself.
That's definitely what it is.
In the car, that's definitely what's happening. So is that born, that nervousness, Geoffrey, is it born still of a misunderstanding that people have around mental health, or not even a misunderstanding, but just a lack of understanding. That there's always, as Eimear said, there's maybe a fear you say something and it, you're saying the wrong thing and it makes things worse.
I think it's born, as you say, from a person's personality, but also it's born from experience. You know, I'm used to dealing with people who are coming to me and presenting with problems on a regular, consistent basis, like you're used to dealing to speaking with people on the radio. So I've become conditioned to listening. You know, I've become conditioned not to want to, or, you know, sometimes I want to respond, but I stop myself. And sometimes it's just about letting the person, you know, as you're saying there, articulate what they need to say, and they come around to the solution or what it is that they actually need to do. You know, there's a great saying by Bruce Lee, and, you know, awareness implies action. You know, so if I become aware of something, or I'm talking about something for a length of time and I know I need to do something about it, I then have to do something about, you know, I have to act upon it. And if I don't, sometimes it's worse. You know, sometimes it's, you know, your ignorance is bliss as such. So it's about kind of being able to kind of get into that. And just to your point there, as you're saying, sometimes having that conversation with somebody who's kind of close to you or who cares about you or loves you is a stepping stone to talk to somebody who's a professional. That there might be some deeper stuff going on. There might be, you know, a more kind of integrated approach or a more kind of specialised approach that is necessary. So I think it's a case of, when we're listening, of course we don't want to say or do the wrong thing or, you know, cause more distress to the person. But I think at the end of the day, you know, if we just take ourselves out of the way, and that sounds a little bit, you know, contraindicated.
Yeah.
If we kind of remove our own thoughts or feelings or judgments from the process and just be a kind of a mirror, or you know, kind of reflect back what we're hearing, generally that's what the person needs, you know.
If that awareness kind of breeds action, or, you know, causes somebody to take action, and they come to that themselves naturally just through a process of talking about it, is that maybe in a way that's kind of more empowering than that action, is it? Because they're the ones who've made the decision rather than kind of feeling nudged into it.
This is the one of the cornerstones of therapy, and it's quite a sneaky thing, you know, that, you know, the person as the therapist will just mirror and reflect back to the person what they kind of unconsciously know but don't want to say.
Yeah.
So it empowers the person to make their own decision and take autonomy for their own decisions. And that's 10 times more empowering than a person weighing in and say, well, do you know what you need to do now? Let me tell you what you need to do, because as soon as somebody says that to us in any scenario, our walls go up because it's unsolicited advice at some level. And even if it's coming from a good place, it still, you know, inhibits progress or change in my experience, you know.
And Eimear, would that have been your experience, that when you were given time and space to make your own decisions about how to deal with this, that those were then the decisions you maybe were more kind of emotionally invested in and everything?
Yeah, and that's definitely something that's really important, because there's really no point in giving somebody advice if they're not in a position to take it or to make those steps. When it comes to mental health and, you know, moving forward, whether it's with cognitive behavioral therapy or just going to talk to your GP or actually going to a psychiatrist, a psychotherapist, whatever it may be, if it's not your choice and you're not invested in that, it's a waste of time. And I'm telling you that from my own experiences, because I've done a lot of therapy, and I've wasted a lot of my time and a lot of other people's time, because there was many times I would find myself in therapy, but I was actually masking. So I wasn't even being honest when they were asking me questions about how I was feeling or what made me feel that way. I wasn't really being truthful. And that was me in a period of not being comfortable yet with even going there myself. So unless that person is ready themselves to take on therapy and take on the journey that is, you know, really kind of digging deep and seeing what's going on and where, you know, some of the pain is coming from or the sadness is coming from, it's kind of a waste of time. But I've also experienced where I have said things surrounding, like, oh, I haven't been doing too well, like mentally. And there've been people that, you know, would tend to kind of just ignore that last part. And I get it, because if you don't suffer yourself or haven't dealt with it before, it can be a scary thing to take on in terms of a conversation. Because like you're saying, you don't want to make a mistake or give bad advice. Mm-hmm. But for the person who has actually had the courage to say it out loud and for it to kind of be ignored can be really tough. And that's whether it's in like a text message even, you know, not just even a conversation. So my advice would be, if you are on that receiving end, I know it can be difficult, and maybe you're not in a position in that very moment maybe to respond, but and you need to go away and think about it or research or talk to somebody else. But ignoring somebody who has come and actually said to you, look, I'm struggling with things at the moment, they're asking for help. They are asking for help. Yeah. They want to be seen. And whether it is that space to talk to somebody or they actually are asking for solutions, like, where do I go? What do I do?
Well, that's because I was going to ask that. I mean, I assume maybe, and the advice kind of generally has been, you know, don't jump in and offer those solutions. But there might be times people want that, you know, and they might kind of,
they might need it.
They might cherish the idea of kind of really yearn for the idea of kind of a structured solution, because it's just, that's their personality type,
totally,
you know?
Totally. And that's too where, you know, for me, when somebody, because they know that I'm quite open about my struggles with my mental health, and I have been for years. So I'm very open to people coming and asking me, like, what have you done to, you know, to manage or to regulate your emotions, or, you know, or talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, which is something that I've done, which I found really helpful, and DBT, which is now a kind of a next step forward, which is really putting in kind of the tools to be able to regulate emotions and be able to verbalize things. And one of the things specifically is this helicopter idea that, you know, you hop in a helicopter, you zoom as far away as you can, and you look down at yourself as if you were it was your friend down there with that situation or that circumstance. And you think to yourself, what would I say to them? Mm. Right? Because actually, when you move and remove yourself from a situation, you know exactly the advice you'd give them, or you'd be able to say to them, you know, it's not as bad as you think it is. You know, so that's one huge tool I've taken from DBT. But you can sometimes, it's that mirror, and you start giving them advice that would be good for you, but not necessarily for them. Mm. So it goes back again to that, really listening to that person and what their needs are and how they feel. No two people really are feeling the same.
Yeah.
Their struggle with mental health could be absolutely nothing like yours. So again, the listening ear is hugely important.
Well, what about, Jeffrey, the follow-up conversations? I mean, should you always allow the conversation to be initiated by the person who's dealing with things, or should you kind of inquire off your own? But again, look, put it this way. You got your knee replaced and you came in here. I'd say, geez, Jeffrey, how's the knee? You know, how's that going? I wouldn't think any twice about asking about it.
Yeah.
But if you and me had had a conversation kind of a few weeks ago where you told me you were struggling, I'd kind of be in two minds. I'd be, should I ask him now how he's getting on? Or am I kind of opening up Pandora's box here? Maybe he doesn't want to talk about it. Maybe now's not the right time. I'll play it safe. I won't even mention it. Well, maybe you want me to ask.
I think the general rule of thumb, Ciarán, is, you know, I would certainly ask.
Okay.
You know, because it shows a level of concern. It shows just that you care. You know, and if the person says, look, I don't really want to talk about it, or look, you know, you're a bit raw at the moment or whatever, but thanks for asking. If that's, you know, if that's the worst response you get, you know, you've let the person know that you're, you know, you're concerned, and you've noted that we had this conversation and there is a follow up. Same as a knee. Now, obviously, I understand that, you know, mental health is a bit more stigma attached to it. But at the end of the day, your health is your wealth, you know. And if a person has a conversation with you and they get into something that's, you know, not the norm, you know, a little bit deeper or whatever, or they're talking about their struggles, it's always good, I think, to follow up with them or see, or even check in with them and say, how did you get on? Or how, you know, because they might be completely overwhelmed. They might have done nothing since that and said, oh, I didn't know what to do, or, you know, so there's always that little bit of encouragement, that little bit of support or that peer support. Because I think usually when people open up around this kind of stuff, they want some kind of input. Mm. They're asking your opinion because they value your opinion. You know, people aren't going to open up to you around their mental health willy-nilly, you know. They're going to do it because they have a level of respect for you and a level of trust for you that you're going to be able to handle it at some level. And really, at the end of the day, with all of these things, you know, there's no real bad advice here. You know, it's just about being open to the process, being open to, you know, if somebody talks to you about something that's quite difficult for them, it might actually upset you personally. Mm. It might trigger something in you, or it might be something that you might have struggled with before. So there's always that kind of experience or lived experience.